2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
We now join part two of today's Godcast, already in progress.
That tenacity with the woman with the issue of blood, it's like, I'm going to get me some.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I might be scared, you know? And so what did Jesus do when he realized that maybe she was fearful? Like, I imagine he had a word of knowledge, was like, wow, she's probably fearful. Fear is a stumbling block. The sickness could come and land on that thing again. I have to seek her out to restore her and say, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Right? It's his heart. It's like, yeah, something went for me, but I see your heart and I have to fix that because, you know, and he calls her daughter.
Amen.
You know, don't be afraid.
I love that. She was motivated, right? She had nowhere else to go. She spent all her money trying everything and nothing was there. So she was risking death to go. She probably figured, I'm dead anyway. Amen. I'm just dead. Desperate. I have nothing left to lose. So I'm going to go. And what I love, it shows up over and over again, is that God, I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world when we were still sinners. I didn't do anything right. I had done nothing right, yet he still loved me. But the world says, no, you're not lovable until you do good things, until you've done something right. I've had people who aren't living their life the right way don't have as much value. And I'm like, you're just totally wrong. That's just not who God is. Right. And so even in the church, no, I can't go to you. I can't come to him now. I mean, I just sinned. I'm in deep sin, right? I'm going off the rails in sin because my life is so hard or things are going on and I just need I need this or I need that. And I know it's not right, but I'm going to do it anyway and go even further from God. Even though I'm in the church, go to church every week, read my Bible, I'm off in sin. And the Lord comes and says, come worship me now. Mm. No, God. No, I can't. Don't you see what I just did? Yeah, I know. My son took care of that. Come worship me. Come be with me because he's the answer. And so it's like he makes himself available. He allows himself to be available to his people, but I have to come to him. Right. And what I love about the woman with the issue of blood, could God have known that she was in the crowd and then gone and sought her out before she came to him? Yeah, he could have. He knows all things. But she came to him. There's something about us coming to him because God is so respectful. He is so desirous of relationship. And if I have relationship with someone that I hold a gun to their head to come to me, is that relationship? That's just slavery. I mean, that's subjugation. And when I talk to atheists and we talk about these things, yeah, well, God, you know, if I don't come to him, he's just going to destroy me. That's just not true. That's not who he is. He desires, he longs to draw us, to woo and to draw us to come. I mean, God has given us the world. He's put us in the world and said, go subdue it. And he sets us free. And then we blame God when things don't go right. And yet God has given us the authority to go do whatever we want. And I tell my atheist friends, I'm like, you are so free to choose. You are 100% free to choose away from God. But why would you when there's all this blessing? The world thinks that if you have a lot of wealth, that God must love you more. And that if you're poor, that God doesn't love you. I mean, that's just not true. And that's a whole nother message too. But it almost seems like sometimes, like we said, like when bad things happen in someone's life, not that God brings it, but because of the decisions that people make, the seeds that get sown, you're going to reap what you sow.
That's That's right.
If you plant a discord, you're going to reap discord in your life. I mean, it's just a fact. It's just a law, the law of sowing and reaping. And so all this living in enmity towards God or in a place of separation, you know, you're not going to reap good things. I mean, it's not going to be blessing. And so all of a sudden something happens in your life that reveals the big chasm that's there. I think that's a blessing because it reveals like, hey, you know, there's so much going on in your life. You just lost your job. Your wife left you and you owe all these taxes. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to look for something or you're going to turn to the Lord. And yet on the other hand, I have friends who are atheists who everything in their life, they're like, I need nothing. Everything's perfect. And I'm like, well, how sad is that? How just completely sad is that? Because you think that everything in your life is perfect because of your own strength. I mean,
that's the Western world.
That's the Western thinking. And then, so then what happens when there is a crack up or something? Or maybe, I mean, what's interesting to me, what's fascinating is like driving into work, they hit a traffic jam, it ruins their whole day.
Yeah.
Their whole day is just wrecked. I'm like, are you kidding? Really? Your whole worldview is destroyed because things didn't go your way. I mean, this kind of gets deep, but really what you're saying is that you're God.
Right. Well, and then you can look at it from a different perspective as well, is that like if you're a Christian, you're talking to people, you go to church and they're getting upset at these things as well.
Amen.
Then what it turns into is incorporating Jesus in just to have a better
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
Right? And it's not about a better day. I mean, he's so passionate for you. I remember I was working one time at this job site and he just interrupted my day. He's like, Tim, I was like, what, Lord? I was like, what's the first thing I did after Jesus died? I was like, and I got excited because I knew I didn't know what he was going to say. I just knew he was going to say something good, right? Because he always leads with a question. Sometimes he'll even give you the question. So I even pray sometimes. I'm like, Lord, give me the question that's going to tell me or lead me that I could ask so that you know.
So you give me the answer.
You can give me the answer. So he'll do that. He goes, I rent the veil. That was the very first thing. The one thing, like you said, there was only one issue. There was only one problem, our sin.
Right.
And that was the first thing on the agenda, right? Like, well, Jesus died. He took care of that. And then the veil gets rented.
Right.
He's so passionate to have you that he took care of everything.
Amen.
He took, and all we have to do is to come.
Amen.
And we pursue him in passion. And like you said before, there's stuff that has a face. You know, love has a face. Passion has a face. It looks like something.
Amen.
Why does God show up in Africa so much? Because these people will crawl on their hands and knees, you know, for that one encounter, you know, possibly with the Lord. And, you know, Tommy Tenney says, and I love this, he goes, the way you prepare, like Esther, mirrors the importance of the encounter.
Amen.
She prepared a whole year.
Amen.
Are we willing to prepare a whole year for one encounter with the King?
Amen.
And Frank texted me, he voxed me today. He was like, basically he was saying, one day with the Lord in favor can restore what was stolen over a lifetime.
Amen.
Just one encounter. So all this stuff is happening to Esther, but one day, one intimate encounter with the King changes everything.
Amen.
It takes care of the enemies. It's like she gets half the kingdom. It just changes the whole thing. But she never was focused on the opulence of the kingdom. It was always about having the King.
Amen.
And so when you want to have an intimate encounter with the King, then you start to value that process. You start to prepare yourself by, you know, things that we're saying and, you know, become dead wood. You know, to get the nail into that wood when it's like a brand new, you know, non-dried out piece of wood, it's hard. You really got to wail on it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, they say I'm good at that. Like, good at hammering because I don't give in because I'm so desirous to get, like, you know, revelation into people that I'm, you know, like, I get too zealous and I hammer, you know? And it's painful, good, so it's good. somebody's got to be the hammer, and it's me sometimes. But it's, like, he loves it. I mean, he just can't wait. And it's the valuing, you know, I say what you value, you have access to.
Right.
And it's the valuing process. And he hides it. And he does all these things to see if you'll value the pursuit.
Amen.
Are you going to come in hunger? Like he said to that, about the woman, he could have went and sought her out.
Yeah.
But sometimes he does that. He saw Zacchaeus climb a tree. And see, when you put your passion on display, he invites himself to your house.
Amen.
He loves it when we put it on display and we prepare ourselves and we soak in the word and the, and because it makes a pliable, broken person. And now I can release over you. And what we're seeing too is that when we start to minister to people who have that hard heart, they don't even receive it.
Yeah.
And you know, we're learning that that's kind of maybe like casting your pearls before swine, because they're not going to do anything with it.
Amen.
And as you can tell about us, we just love giving revelation. It's just so good.
Amen.
And
it's good.
You know, revelation is the foundation for encounter. It doesn't bring the encounter. It's valuing that revelation that brings the encounter. But we share it with people, and we see some people embrace it.
Yeah.
And we see the fruit in our lives, and we see other people that maybe it takes some, as it did us.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I mean, we heard some messages over and over again.
Amen.
That it took a while for it to germinate in us. And
what we get excited about is realizing that if I'd had men like us around when I first got married, things would have been a lot easier. Yeah. It would have been a lot. Somebody to say, it's possible to walk like this. It's possible to live like this.
Right.
I mean, there's so many examples in our culture of people who say one thing and then they wind up doing another, and that's it's unfortunate, because it sends the message that, well, I'm not really living that. But like, when you see people, men and women, who actually walk what they're saying,
right,
I think that's powerful. It's like seeing Rob Groover, you know, and that humility. I mean, like I said, I've never seen a man so, I mean, even to this day, I've not met anybody with so much humility. It draws humility out of you. Like, oh my goodness, that is so amazing. He is so amazing. I just want to. But then we'll have people in the church that have been going to church their whole lives, and we'll encourage, hey, you can pray. You can pray for this issue. You can pray. Yeah, I tried that prayer and it didn't work.
Right.
Well, you prayed one time and it didn't work. Right? The heart that says, no, Lord, I'm pressing in no matter what. I'm on the road. I may not be moving more than a mile an hour, but I'm still on the road, and it doesn't matter.
Right.
And you know what? I did make it to that meeting on time. I was right on time, right? Yeah. We were right on time, and it was an awesome meeting. But see, if I had allowed what it looked like to get in the way of what God was saying and said, oh, I'm never going to get there. I might as well just turn around and drive home. Probably going to be so late. I would have just taken myself right out. It's almost like Christians do that more than anybody else's. We just say, well, I guess it's not for me, and I'm just, you know, I prayed that prayer. Well, I mean, you said pray, and, you know, how about I position myself and I press in until I lay hold?
Amen.
Amen. And even if I die,
right,
I'm pressing in. I mean, I've laid my life down. I mean, there's no other way.
Right. And one of the great indicators, whether you're pressing in hunger or you're pressing in striving, like Josh said about the older brother, you know, if you're striving, trying to get something, you're going to be on the outside of the party looking in.
Amen.
And so a neat way to see if you're a striver or you're really pursuing in passion is that when you don't get what you're striving for, are you getting upset?
Oh, man.
See, value never looks for results.
Amen.
It looks for a relationship.
Amen.
And so what you see is not more real than what is true. And so the Lord is going to see if you really truly value it. He's preparing you for something where if he was to release that thing over you, you're not ready for the, you know, the giants. Because David had five stones. Goliath has brothers.
Yeah.
You kill one, there's other dudes there. Are you, if you go and maintain the land or take the land, are you able to maintain the land?
Amen.
So, but if your heart is getting aggravated for how long it's taking, you might want to look like why you're pursuing it.
Amen.
Because it's a great indicator that you might be striving for something instead of just trusting in the Lord and in passion. And then, because the striving thing, I'm just telling you, like I always love saying, I'm a way better striver than all of you. it's like the old flesh. It's like, I'm the king of strivers. You know, like, talk to me about it. I'll win the battle. You know, it's like, so the older brother is like, wait, I'm way better than that younger brother.
Yeah.
I'm way better. I'm doing all this stuff. Can't you see, God? I have all these great things that I'm doing. I'm going to church. I'm fasting. I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But see, if you're doing it all to get something, it just flies in the face. And it's like a poverty mindset. The Lord can't honor that.
It flies in the face of relationship. You were saying then it's just really just a form of prostitution.
Right. Professional intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah, professional intimacy or whatever
Bill Johnson
that looks like.
It's
powerful.
Yeah, you can even tell in the conversation. It's like, it's like, because, you know, it's like you feel as hard on the thing. He's like, I don't like that.
It's like, and then instantly, like, I've done that. All right, let's just be real. I've done that. It's not as good as relationship.
Right.
You know, it's not as good as intimacy just because he's my father.
Right. I love him. Well, it's like you, when you started talking about the son, you were like,
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed, there's like a pause there. Yeah. And actually, he did well to recover from that. Usually it takes him much longer because he's so sewn into intimacy. I say all the time that Alan could get blessed by reading numbers. You know, it's like, oh, 17. Oh, my gosh. It's like, he just sees with different eyes because of what he's laid hold of. It's like he sees, like, so he says these words like intimacy and son and professional, you know, and you're like, oh. Because it's like he, you know, nowhere in the Bible that it says don't grieve the Father or the Son.
Yeah.
But don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know? And it, like a lot of times I'm either real excited about Holy Spirit or there's like a hush that's like, oh, he's holy.
Yeah.
He's holy.
Amen. You were saying, don't cast your pearls before swine. For years, I didn't know what that meant. Don't cast your pearls before swine because they might turn and trample you. They'll trample the pearls, which, you know, I never understood that either. Like, why? So, I mean, if you're casting your pearls down, I mean, why, you know, the swine are going to trample them? This is kind of, and maybe this is a great kind of just example of what we do with the word, is you take a message like that and you're like, wow, Lord, that seems, Jesus, like you're calling people swine. You're calling them pigs. Now, in first century Hebrew society, pigs were not highly valued. Let's just be honest. And so, like, how could Jesus be calling people swine and saying you're casting your pearls into the mud and that the worst thing that could happen is that the swine turn and trample them? And so what we did with this is we just start praying, Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, what does it mean? You know, you must be after something. There's something here that's got value. There's a proverb that says, he is like a sow that once washed goes back to the mud. And so that's the other verse that actually had kind of bothered me for a long time. I'm like, as I was growing up, things in my life that weren't being dealt with kind of seemed like that proverb applied to me. Mm-hmm. And it always bothered me. That proverb always bothered me. Like, yeah, like a sow that's once washed goes back to rolling in the mud. And Lord, I don't understand that. What does that mean? What does that proverb mean? I don't even understand that. I think that the two, those two verses are kind of connected because Jesus refers to people as sows. And then, you know, there's that proverb. And then there's also 2 Peter, where Peter talks about bold and arrogant men. And not afraid to slander celestial beings. That's 2 Peter 2:10. Peter's talking about, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. And so as I was living my life, doing whatever I wanted to, that's just a form of despising authority. I don't have any value for authority. God says, don't do this, and I'm doing it anyway. So I'm saying, Lord, you know what? I'm my own authority. Right? I'm going to just be on my own. And I know it seems like I'm jumping around here, but it all ties together as you start to see what God's saying. So you take these three scriptures and start to compare them and say, Lord, I don't understand what this means. Would you show me, Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. So I can't know on my own unless somebody tells me. But it's way better if the Lord and I hash this out together. And so I would just start praying. I would come across scriptures, and I just encourage anybody to do this. I heard Todd White do this. Josh and I were at a conference where Todd said this. He just said, listen, I don't know. I read the scripture. I don't know what it means. So I say, Holy Spirit, you have to show me. Would you just show me? Well, for him to show me, it takes relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is what God's talking about. Yeah. He's like, I have to admit, I don't know. If I say I know everything, I'm bold and arrogant, right? I'm knowledge puffs up. I just, well, I already know what that means. You don't need to tell me. No, maybe I don't know what it means. Holy Spirit, come show me, reveal to me. So I was praying one day and I was in 2 Peter 2:12. He's talking about these men who are bold and arrogant, not afraid to slander celestial beings. They say things they don't understand. So it's like you're your own God. You're just doing your own thing. You make your own rules. I mean, if you start to look at it from that perspective, man, there's a lot of people out there that are doing that. There's a lot of people that are living their lives like that. I was living my life like that. And what I want to encourage, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you have some desire to know. Amen. You know, it's not, I mean, you're listening because, well, this seemed kind of interesting and maybe I should give this a listen and I know who the Lord is. And maybe that's not you and you're like, no, brother, I love the Lord. Awesome. Praise God. Well, you're listening because you have a desire to know. And so that's awesome. I was living like this, but being in the church. And to me, I think that's the worst possible situation because Jesus says you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. I wish you were cold. Why? Well, of course he wants us hot. Amen. I mean, he wants us hot. You're on fire. You're just pressing in. You're laying hold of everything. But why would he want us cold? Well, he wants us cold so that at least he could make us warm then. So at least the disparity between my life and what the scripture says would be so clear that maybe I would see, maybe I would turn and say, wow, that's not in my life. I want to lay hold of it. The point I want to make is I read this verse. Peter says, but these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. That scripture jumped off the page at me and right into my heart. God doesn't want me to perish. He desires that all men be saved. In fact, he loves me. He came that I might be saved, sozoed, kept well, made safe and sound, blessed. That's his desire. Amen. He doesn't want me to perish. Wow. So you can look at a beast, an animal of the field. They only do what they do by instinct. They don't decide to go roll in the mud. The pig doesn't decide. But see, I'm not a pig. I'm not to be like a pig that just goes by instinct. I'm to be a son, washed, made safe and sound, blessed. And so if I'm to be like a son, I'm not a pig. So I don't have to do what I just do by instinct. Look, there's a way that if I get the revelation and I allow the Lord to work in my life, I'm not a pig anymore. I'm not operating by instinct. I'm operating as a son, as one who's been purchased and right. bought back to original Amen. Created value. Amen. And so I can live in that place where I don't have to be ruled by my instincts. And I guess that's what I'm driving at, is that right. intimacy brings you to a place where I'm not going to go steal, even if I have need, because I'm not just going to do out of instinct what just seems natural. I'm going to live in a place where the Lord can Amen. Meet me. Amen? Amen? And so as I started to pray into that, the Lord highlighted that scripture, a dog returns to his vomit by instinct. A sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud by instinct. And the Lord's like, are you a sow? I'm like, no, I'm a son. So I don't go back to wallowing in the mud. I've been transformed. Amen. It's Amen. Possible to be transformed. Amen. And I wouldn't have known it was possible until I saw that someone could walk that way.
Amen.
Amen. So then that scripture suddenly starts to make sense. Don't cast your pearls. What are pearls? Pearls are little things that started out as an irritant, but I got a revelation about it turned something that was difficult into something that was beautiful because I see, I get a pearl, I get a little bit of wisdom that allows me to understand who God is. And it's like, it's an amazing thing. Well, don't give that to somebody who's just living by instinct. They don't even understand what it means.
The cost was so high to get it.
The cost was so high to get it. So then when you see them push it down into the mud and treat it as dirt, it's painful to you.
Right.
It's actually right. painful right. because you don't understand right. what I just gave you is this right. piece of wisdom that cost me a great deal or cost someone else. And I laid hold of just because I lay hold because I see it in Tim's life. I don't need to live it. I can say, wow, I see it in his life. That means I can lay hold of it too. I just have to position myself like him. I don't have to go through what he went through and have the right. boss who was right. railing you or right. the, you know, Brett with two T's, right. you know,
well, that's the situation. That's the beauty of partnership. You know, that's what I'm saying. Amen. Come alongside Amen. A ministry Amen. Because those who go and they can get breakthrough in a certain area, you Amen. Come. You know, if we have to wait for everybody to like learn the same thing, Amen. What's the point in that? You know, as I'm hooked up with Alan and Josh, the blessings that are on their lives start to come upon my life.
Amen.
And vice versa, because we've got breakthrough. Me and Alan like spent years because, like you said, nobody came alongside us.
Amen.
But now we get to talk to Josh, and Josh is, you know, it's kind of like, it's like the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's Amen. Like, hey, that grates on me. Why does Josh get to enter into it? You know, it's like so quickly. It's like, well, we're walking it out with him and we're saying Amen. Here and you know, and then now Josh is being that to other people.
Amen.
You know, and I think what I'm hearing you too that I like so much is Proverbs, it says, as a man thinks in his heart,
Amen.
So is he.
Amen.
And so as you come before the Lord in intimacy, know that you're a son.
Amen.
I don't care if you feel like a son.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Act like a son. Even if Amen. You don't know, you know, that's that whole godly principle will turn into godly living. And you'll start to see, you'll start to taste and see. It's like, well, Alan said I could come. He says I'm a son.
Yeah.
I'm not a Amen. Swine. I'm not laying all of that. I'm a son, dang it. And it's that tenacity that he loves. Come before the throne boldly. Know who your dad is. And even if you don't, just, well, I'm going after this thing because you're hungry.
Yeah.
Be hungry. It looks like something. Be passionate.
Amen. Know?
So the whole second half of that message was brought to you by Pastor Alan. So thank you, History with God people. You guys are a blessing. I mean, your fervency and your hunger, and it keeps on growing. And Alan, why don't you just pray for all them to get.
Like, so, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for the honor and the privilege to be able to share what you're doing in our lives and to come into partnership together in the kingdom. Because it really is about the kingdom. It's all about him. If you want to partner with Red Strawberry Ministries, that's awesome. Partner with someone, like Tim keeps saying. Partner somewhere. Sow into something. Run the race with someone. And History with God is an awesome place to do that. And we love the blessing that Frank and Christina are in our lives. And the opportunity that we have to run with them is such a blessing, Lord, and such an honor. And I am just so thankful for what you're doing in our lives, Lord, and how you're using what you've done in our lives. And so, like Tim said, and I know it's kind of like I'm teaching, but I'm praying, I'm blessing the Lord, I'm thanking you, Lord, for what you're doing. This is like we get to see pearls that get honored. And so nothing blesses us more than someone saying, wow, I see what you're going through. I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm going to put it on, just like Jesus said to do. And so Jesus said it, and then it comes to someone else, and then they say it, and then it comes to Alan and Tim and Josh, and then comes to you, and you put it on. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on, today is a day of salvation. So, Lord, we just thank you that today is the day that we can put the word on and that we can lay hold of what you desire us to have. Yeah. You desire us to lay hold of every spiritual blessing. And so, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the seeds that have been sown. And, Lord, I pray that the seeds that have been sown would be watered and that there would be a great harvest. There would be a reaping. And so, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing and ask that you would just release hunger to lay hold of even more. That you would release the hunger. And everyone who hears my voice, see, everyone who hears my voice has access to what we have access to. Amen. Amen. Because you're listening, you have access and you can say, amen, I put it on. I receive it. I want, Lord, what you want to do in my life. I just want to be the clay that says, yes, amen, Lord. I want to lay hold of everything that you have for me. And so, Lord, release the hunger for everyone to press in all the more to lay hold of what you're doing in their life.
And remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from the History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.